الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما صدق الله العظيم. Hello my kiram, most respected brothers and sisters of the madrasa. I don't believe in pretending and too much of formality. So if I am tired, then I will tell you I am feeling very tired. And that is the truth, that I have just returned from Dundee, Ladysmith, Ascot and down to Durban. So whether I speak for 5 minutes or 10 or 20, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala only knows. Make dua, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives me the strength to say something which will be beneficial to myself and to you.
Amen.
But when you come with so much of muhabbat and so much of love for Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the deen of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then it is only right that something should be said, even though it may be just one nasihat. Brothers, we are discussing a hadith of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam in which Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, My Allah specifically instructed me, specially ordered me with regards to 9 things. We discussed at length the first one, and that was that I should fear Allah in my private life and public life. Whether I am alone, secluded, there's nobody watching me, or I am in public, my life must project that same taqwa. There must not be 2 different lives that I lead. Of course, it does not mean that the person who's of taqwa, then his life will be exactly the same as it is in the masjid. It doesn't mean that. Some people think that what we mean by the life being the same is that in the masjid, how a person is silent, he is either reading tasbih, or he is making zikr, or he is making tilawat of the Quran Sharif, or he is engaged in namaz, or he is silently meditating, because that is what's supposed to be done in the masjid. Not that we should form groups and discuss the cricket match or discuss other affairs. Unfortunately, these are the types of reports we have been receiving from many brothers in from different areas also. Wherever we go, the talk is the same. That whether it's in the wuzukhana, or whether it is in the sahan, or whether it is in the masjid, recently that is what the discussion centered around, the World Cup. Now we have spoiled the bazaars, we have spoiled the marketplaces, we have spoiled our homes, we have polluted the outside world. The only place which was left unpolluted was the masjid. But we said that why should we leave this place unpolluted? Therefore let us bring that pollution in the masjid also. So we brought the filth inside the masjid also. ND3. So we have begun polluting the masjid also. We must understand that these sporting activities, they are sponsored by whom? Standard Bank and all such kind of institutions, gambling institutions, breweries. Now we are actively supporting that. It's not a question of sport. Sport itself, there's nothing wrong with it. If a person is jogging, he's running, he is skipping, he is exercising so that he may be strong and fit and healthy, so that if the call is suddenly made for jihad, then he will be available, then he will get reward for all that exercising. What we are talking about is becoming couch potatoes and after that just watching 14 hours, 15 hours of sport and polluting our brains, our mind, our heart and everything. And after that we sleep sport, we think sport, we drink sport. So much so that in our masjid, when we are making Allahu Akbar also, our mind is that when can we get quickly back to see what happened after we left. That is for those who are namazis. And for those who are not namazis, even that doesn't bother them. So we have to go to the depth of these things. And then who are we really supporting? People who are kuffar, mushrikeen, and even if they are Muslims, 90% of them are fussaq and fujjar. You won't find them reading any namaz. And so many of our own Pakistani players were caught drinking and fornicating and indulging in so many other filthy activities. Now, do we want our children to model themselves on these people? Would we be happy that our children model themselves on these people? Because the child's mind is blank. It's a blank slate. And whoever you watch and whoever you see, because we have gone through it in our school days also, when we used to play cricket, then we are always sort of identifying ourselves with some fast bowler or some good batsman. And least did we realize that that fast bowler or that excellent batsman, he is a kafir, he is a mushrik, he is a Yahud, he is from the Nasara, he is an enemy of Islam. He doesn't have any iman in his heart, no nur of taqwa, nothing. And he rejects Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now we are modeling ourselves on that, that I wish I was like him, I wish to be him, I wish to be him. So we can understand from that where we are heading. These majlises, I don't pull any punches. That is what it is meant for, that it must hurt us, it must affect us, it must encourage us to make tawbah. We all are sinful. None of us are perfect. We all are sinful and we all make mistakes, and we made many, many mistakes, and we are still bound to make mistakes. But the intelligent person is who learns from the mistakes of others and does not wait to experience it himself. A person made mistakes and he landed himself in hot water, or he landed himself in problem. He embarrassed himself, humiliated himself, disgraced himself. So now we must take a lesson from there, that what happened? Why did this happen? So we must not repeat the same thing and save ourselves from those situations. So at present, this is the condition of our lives, that we have polluted not only the outside world, but even inside the masjids. We do not want to refrain from discussions of worldly matters. Just to find out about a person's health, about somebody that was sick in the family, or discussion of certain things which are outwardly of worldly nature, but in reality they are not worldly. It is permissible in the masjid. But there's groupings everywhere to discuss sports and such kind of things. Definitely the masjid is not for that. Allah Ta'ala's wrath knows no limits when a person engages in such discussions in the masjid. But it's just that we do not sense it because our hearts have become pitch black. So we do not even sense that we are doing something wrong, that there's darkness coming in the heart. That same example comes to mind again. Put the center line on. The same example comes to mind again, that if a person's overall is pitch black, and then there's grease on their overall, and he is working in a garage, you take on a bottle of ink and you pour onto that overall, it will make no difference. Because it was a dark black overall, and there was so much of grease on it, so it will make no difference. But take a person whose clothes are white, clean, and on that garment you put one drop of ink, and it will show. That person will feel uncomfortable, that when does he remove that one black spot from his clothes. Until he doesn't remove it, he won't feel comfortable. So if, because we have committed so much of sins and not made sincere tawbah, we do not sense this darkness. Otherwise, in just discussion also, which is useless, this darkness. Discussion also, which is useless. And by useless, I mean there's no benefit at all. One is that you are talking about general matters to put happiness into the heart of the Muslim brother. That Muslim brother is a businessman, or he is engaged in some other halal activity, and you are talking to him and discussing something about his business, although it doesn't really matter very much as far as you are concerned, but you feel that he will get happy that you are at least listening to him. So that is permissible. But I'm talking about something that's absolutely useless. One buzruk went to one home and he tapped at the door. Now look at the walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He tapped at the door. And when he tapped at the door, so the wife from inside the house said that my husband is not here. He said, I want to see your husband. He said, he's not here. So then he questioned that where did he go? Where is he gone to? Now to us that means nothing, that we asked a simple question, that where is he gone to? But over that he made tawbah and istighfar for years, that why did I ask a question which was useless? There was no need for it. It was wherever he went, that's his business. If he was not at home, now it's not my business to find out exactly where did he go to. He could have gone for anything. And sometimes it could be that he's gone for some work where he does not want others to know. So it was not my duty or my responsibility to know that. So over that also he's making istighfar and tawbah. Now of course we won't reach that category. But at least those things which pollute the heart, which take away the nur from the heart. Brothers, I'm in the masjid. One father tells me, he says, Maulana, what you all say in the masjid, sometimes we feel very hurt, but it is the truth. Until we don't experience it, we don't realize that what you are saying, how true it is. He says, I always criticized the ulama, and I had many comments with regards to watching sport on the television. Because I'm not saying it is 100% haram to watch anything on it. I'm not discussing about that issue. It's a fatwa of ulama and they have given different reasons. But when 90% of the content of such a television is haram, then how can we declare it halal? Even if 10% is halal to watch on it. But when 90% of the content is haram, we say no, it is very beneficial from the educational point of view. So it is like taking the spoon, and with that spoon on the one side you dish out biryani, you dish out firni, and you dish out all other good delicious foodstuffs, and then you use the same spoon or that same spoon which was used to pick up the stool. Now with that spoon again we pick up all these good things. So the filth and that doesn't go together. So in the same way now he says, Maulana, I was watching recently in this World Cup that was going on. He said, my two young daughters, one 16, one 18, my wife, myself, my mother, practically the whole family. And he said, even our two, three neighbors were there. And whilst we were watching, two streakers, they pulled off their clothes and they paraded there. And for almost 2 to 3 minutes, they were naked. And he said, the embarrassment and the shame that I felt in front of my two young daughters. He said, I swore that, Ya Allah, this is the last that the TV will be in my home. I took it and got rid of it. I said, Alhamdulillah, but you waited to feel, get embarrassed before your daughters. Until then you didn't take a lesson. But never mind. At least you came home by the evening, then you have arrived. So these are the things that are happening. We cannot say that we are not watching all this filth that comes in between in the form of advertisement and all other things. Then what is the benefit? Then we are listening to majlises, we are listening to zikr programs, we are sitting in talim, we are doing gush, we are shaking our heads here and making Allah Allah. And after that little bit of nur that comes into the heart, then we wipe it off in this form. Now those people who are watching that, was it halal? Was it jais? And did they know 1 minute before that these foolish, stupid animals, this is what they are going to be doing? That they would be like, they would also like to join the animals of the jungle, who don't wear any clothes. They didn't know. 2 minutes before that, they didn't know. So how can we, and how, which person can say that he has got a guarantee from the sponsors or from the organizers that the next match, whichever is going to take place, such an incident is not going to take place? Does anybody have any guarantee that in a certain match which is going to take place, football match, cricket match, rugby match, whatever match, then this streaking is not going to take place? Does anybody have any guarantee? Can anybody control that? Because all it requires is two stupid people to take a bet. One person tells the other that if you do this, I will give you 1,000 rands. So now that person, it doesn't matter, even if he suffers embarrassment in front of the millions, but he will get the 1,000 rands. So that is all that is required. All the laws of the world will not stop them from doing that. So let us take a lesson that these things are drawing us away from our deen, from our sharia. There are so many things to do. The world is waiting for us to give them the message of Islam. There are people going far, far away from the deen of Islam. There's so much to do. There are poor and the needy who require assistance. There are refugees who require assistance. There are so much of educational programs in which we can take part. there are jihad activities which are taking place. We can train ourselves, we can take part in that. There are so many healthy programs in which we can engage ourselves. Instead of passing our time in this manner, hours and hours of our life is being wasted, going down the drain. And not a minute can we bring back from that life, not a minute. What is gone is gone. Yes, that casual knowledge or some knowledge of what is carrying on, I'm not saying that that is haram. Sometimes if somebody has just some knowledge who's playing and what and who they're playing, or something about the scores just he heard from somebody, then that is a different thing. Or he just glanced through the newspaper and read one or two things about it. I'm not saying that is haram. What I am saying is to spend so much of time in this type of activities, and especially when those people are watching at the cost of their namazes, at the cost of their deen, at the cost of their iman. Because where is the person's iman at that time? Where the namaz, the muazzin is saying, Hayya ala salah, and the person says that just now, until the last minute, and then he says, now I will make my two rakats at home quickly here. How many millions of people miss their salats because of these programs? So this is an ongoing thing. It will carry on and on. It's not going to stop with this World Cup. It's going to come again to South Africa. And everywhere in the world, there are so many other matches taking place, and there are so many other cups for which they are going to be fighting. So for a Muslim, at least, if we cannot save ourselves in the outside world, then don't bring it inside the masjid. The wuzu khanas are not meant for this. The sahan is not for that. The masjid is not for that. These places are for zikr, for tilawat, for ibadat, for finding out about the welfare and the condition of brothers, sisters, and to do something that is useful for the society, or to talk about things which are permissible. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in that hadith he says, my Allah ta'ala ordered me that I must fear him in private and in public. Yes, I came back on track, that I was telling you that it does not mean, Allah Ta'ala's fazal that he brought me back to where I started, that it does not mean that if a person is sitting in the masjid, what his condition is, it must be the same condition at home. It doesn't mean that in the masjid the person is reading tasbih, making zikr, making tilawat. So now when he goes home, the fear of Allah means that he must be all the time reading tasbih. When he walks in also, he must be like an animal, like a lion. He must be stern-faced. There must be no smile, no cheer, no talking and no laughing and no joking with the family and with the children, because he is a wali, because he is Bayazid Bustami. It doesn't mean that. That now there's going to be a difference. The only thing is that there's going to be taqwa. The taqwa of the masjid demanded that this is what he should be doing. Now the taqwa of the home demands that you talk with the children, with the family, but when we're going to get rid of that bala from the home, when we're going to get rid of that dajjal from the house, then only we'll find some time to talk to the family and to the children. There are so many people, they just arrive home and the sandwiches or the food, whatever is there, it is ready, the switch is put on, and that's the end. The children will go to sleep and they haven't even spoken to them. So the taqwa of the home will be that my Allah is watching me even in this home of mine. The taqwa of that home will be that I must not listen to haram, I must not see that which is forbidden, I must not speak those things which are haram. And with the family, with the children, if he is talking, joking, laughing with friends and eating and all that, as long as it is within the framework of Sharia, there is nothing wrong. That is the taqwa of the home. Dunya ke mashghalon mein bhi hum ba khuda rahe, duniya ke mashghalon mein bhi wo ba khuda rahe, wo sab ke saath reh ke bhi sab se juda rahe. That in all the activities of life, but they are ba khuda, they are with Allah all the time, in whatever condition they are, but they are ba khuda. As we say, the person is ba wuzu, he is with wuzu all the time. So being with wuzu all the time does not mean that this person's wuzu does not break. Does it mean that his wuzu doesn't break? He has to go to the toilet, his wuzu will break. So wuzu will break. But if it breaks, then what does he do? He immediately makes wuzu. Then we call that person ba wuzu. Even though his wuzu broke 10 times for the day, but we call that person ba wuzu because every time that his wuzu broke, he made wuzu again. But it's not that his wuzu never broke. So in the same way, we will make tawbah, we will make istighfar, we will make sincerely to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or we'll make tawbah sincerely, we'll ask Allah for forgiveness. And when we are leaving the masjid also, we have got every intention of not to return to that sin. But accidentally again the person committed a sin, accidentally he fell. So then he quickly makes tawbah again, he doesn't wait. Like for example, the person switched on that program on the television, some movie, some film, or even if he brought one video film and came, and some Hindi film, Western film, whatever it was, and now he put the thing on, he put the switch on. As soon as he puts the switch on, if he has attended these type of majlises, if he has been in the zikr programs, if he has been in talim and tabligh, if he has been in the sohbat of some ahlullah, if he has heard waaz and nasihat, then this person's conscience will straight away worry this person. His conscience will immediately tell this person that what you are doing is wrong. That will happen. It's not that we won't get caught. Sometimes the person gets caught. Shaitan and nafs takes him there. But then the moment the person wants to indulge in that sin, if that person has been attending these type of programs sincerely with an open mind and with the niyat of receiving and not with a blocked mind, you think I am telling you sometimes or giving you these examples and it is not true. But it so happens that whenever I give an example, somebody will tell me the next day that what you said was the truth. I gave you the example that you must not sit in the majlis with your nostrils closed and your sinuses clogged. Then only you will benefit from the majlis. If there's a fragrant rose, then the fragrance of that rose, if you want it to affect the body, then the nostrils must be open and the sinuses must be unclogged. Otherwise it won't help. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, all the sahabas, they saw beauty in the face of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an said, it is as if the sun is moving on the face of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab, what did they see on the face of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? So I gave that example, and the very next day one brother comes to me and he says, Maulana, you must make me maaf, you must forgive me. I said, why? He says, I attended three of your majlises, but I had the hatred in my heart for you. And that after the third majlis, he said, I ran away. And then he related one dream, how it brought him back. So what I am saying is that this can happen. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must give us the realization and give us the understanding. We must not have badzani with anybody. We must not create in our mind images and opinions without really knowing the truth. Alhamdulillah, I can swear and say here that no person's wealth, it is only Allah's fazal, that a person's wealth, no matter how many billions he may have, affects me when I'm giving a bayan or in my life, alhamdulillah. So I've got nothing to really gain in the form of material wealth when I'm saying these things. What I'm saying, there is a deep-hearted desire that I myself connect myself with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in such a manner that not for a single moment does nafs and shaitan cause me to deviate. And that is my desire for everyone. So what I am saying is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this is what the sahaba saw on his face, and that is what Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab saw. So in the masjid, the adab or the taqwa is different, and the taqwa of the home is different. Now in the home, that is the taqwa. Dunya ke mashghalon mein bhi wo ba khuda rahe, wo sab ke saath rehke bhi sab se juda rahe. That we are with everyone, but yet our hearts are with Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Khaja Azizul Hasan Madzub Rahmatullah Alay, in the company of Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Alay, and great, great scholars, he was making them laugh. He made them laugh. He said some jokes which were permissible, and they laughed. And after some time, then he asked them, he said, itni der tak jo hum hase bole, to kiska dil khuda se ghafil raha? He's asking Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah and people of that caliber. He says, Kiska dil khuda se ghafil raha? And then he said, Alhamdulillah, itni der tak jama hase bole, Alhamdulillah, mera dil khuda se ghafil nahi raha. Now where can we get that we are laughing, we are joking, we are talking, we are smiling, we are engaged in our business here, but our dil is not ghafil from Allah Ta'ala. We say that, how can that be possible? I explained to you. That the person is conducting his business at the time that he is selling the item, at the time that he is writing down the transaction, He can't be concentrating on something else. At that time he will concentrate on that transaction. But if he has got at the back of his mind that this transaction must be 100% halal, I must not cheat this person, I must not deceive him in any way, I must not hide any defect that is in the article or the garment, and even in this agreement that I am making, I must not use such terms and such words that in reality I am trying to deceive this person, or later on I will use the same document to deceive him. Now if this person got that kind of fear of Allah Ta'ala, that he is watching me even in this business transaction of mine, then that is what we mean by dunya ke mashghalo mein bhi wo ba khuda rahe. In everything, the person is ba khuda, he is with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So I was telling you that wuzu will break, so the person makes sincere tawbah. Every time he makes sincere tawbah again, that I'm not going to return to that sin. But of course, the moment the person begins to realize, because shaitan and nafs will take the person towards sins, that is their work, that is what they are doing all the time. Inna nafsa la ammaratum bisu. So this is what they will carry on doing. But if this person, as I said, has had the opportunity of sitting in majlises, in listening to waaz, nasihat, making zikrullah, going out in talim, tabligh, then the conscience will worry this person that what I am doing is wrong. So even if he switched it on, the moment he realizes, and he will realize it immediately, like which one of us now here will not realize immediately that we are doing wrong if we have to be told by some woman that you can commit the evil act with me. And the woman is a pretty woman and she invites this person. Now which person at that time will not know that it is a wrong thing? Or if a person has made us in charge of a huge treasury, plenty of money in there, and he says that this is amanat, keep it. Now which person will not know that this is sinful to make khiyanat, to betray the trust that has been placed in me? The person will, his conscience will worry him. Unless the person has got no iman, he has got no iman, then of course his conscience is not going to worry him. Or if the person has got no fear of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, although he is a Muslim, then it is not going to worry him. So I'm not talking about that category of people. But people like us, alhamdulillah, must make shukr of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that our conscience will worry us. So the moment it worries us, that is the moment that immediately we must switch off and make tawbah. From whatever it is, not only the television, this, whatever it is, we must switch off. We must switch the direction. We must take a complete roundabout turn. Because the moment the person looks at haram, then his heart takes a roundabout turn completely. Now when he makes tawbah, istighfar, then again it comes right. Otherwise it is not going to be there in its place. So this heart, it goes away very quickly. The heart, it is in our chest, but it runs very, very fast. The heart is in our chest, and it is in such a place that we all can say that the ribs are above that, and it is right here inside us. It is hidden that nobody can see it too. But it runs so fast that we won't even realize where it's gone. How many people, don't they tell us that I gave my heart away to that woman, I gave my heart away to that handsome boy, I gave my heart away for the wealth, I gave my heart away for that property. So that heart runs away in so many different places. Whereas that heart was supposed to be for Allah Ta'ala alone. The world and everything that it contains cannot receive Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's tajalli. But this heart of a mu'min is such that it can receive the tajalli of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala so much ihsan on his bandas that he made the heart a place where he can cast his tajalli. And the person will feel it, he will sense it. He will realize that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has cast his tajalli on that heart. But it will only come when we fight the nafs and shaitan like lions. That is why I keep repeating that we have to fight it like lions. If we're going to say that not today, tomorrow, the day after, slowly, take your time, then it's not going to happen. But of course, we don't say that you must jump into the ocean. We don't say that you must commit suicide. What it means that immediately make the tawbah, make the intention, make the niyat that, Ya Allah, I want to get out of this filth that is in my life. How long am I going to live on the surface of the earth, walking about like a person who has got filth in his heart? Or with all this filth like a garbage bag, how long am I going to walk around? With malice, with pride, with greed, with lust and with evil desires and passions engulfing and controlling the person's heart. then what kind of a life of a mu'min is that? When will we desire to taste of the sweetness of the iman? The sweetness of iman, when will we say that we want to taste some part of that too? And the moment we will get that taste, then we are not going to return to this sins again. So the conscience of a believer will worry him. The conscience of a believer will worry him. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that my Allah ta'ala ordered me that I must fear him in private and in public. My private life, my public life, there must be taqwa. There must be that fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Why did these great people, how many times you have heard from in different bayans, that why did people like Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, why did they spend restless nights? Why? Why did Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu say that I wish I was the hair on the body of a mu'min? Sometimes he picks up a straw and he says, I wish I was the straw. Sometimes he says, I wish I was the tree, that it was cut, somebody used it for firewood, and that was the end of it. I wish my mother had never given birth to me. Why did Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala look at that bird and say, how lucky you are, how fortunate you are, you eat, you drink, you fly under the shade of the trees, and on the day of Qiyamah there will be no reckoning for you. And yet they were promised by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, Usman fil Jannah, Ali fil Jannah. After being promised, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that every gate of paradise is going to invite Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and that enter through me. It will be an honor for me, O Abu Bakr, if you enter through my door. And he is saying that this, I wish I was this, I wish I was that. When Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was about passing away, he said, put my head onto the floor. Hazrat Imam Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they praised Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and they spoke about the good qualities of his and how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was extremely pleased with him in his lifetime. And when he passed away also, he was extremely pleased with him and how Allah ta'ala made him the Khalifa. He said, will you say all these things on the day of Qiyamah also? And yet he knows he has been promised Jannat. Allah. These are the people. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in one ayat of the Quran Sharif, he's staying awake the whole night. One ayat. In tu'azibuhum fa innahum ibaduk wa in taghfir lahum fa innaka antal azizul hakim. Oh my Allah, if you forgive them, then they are your servants. And if you punish them, then you are exalted in might and you are wise. And on this, he is spending the whole night. Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, wamtazul yawma ayyuhal mujrimun. On this day, that is the day of Qiyamah, separate you those who are mujrimeen from those who are pious and righteous. In the world we gave you the sunshine, we gave you the waters of the ocean, we gave you wind, we gave you air, we gave you life, we gave you everything. The food and the drink was for everybody, the kuffar, the mushrikeen. All our ni'mats, both used it in the world. But on this day now, wamtazul yawma ayyuhal mujrimun. Here it's not for those who were the fussaq and fujjar or those who were kuffar and mushrikeen. Here it is only for those who believed and who acted and practiced. Now on that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah is spending the whole night. So there must have been something. So this is what we mean, that the taqwa must be everywhere. In the masjid, in the home, in the business, in our private life, in our public life. I was going to discuss the third part. The second point, let's get away then quickly to the second point which we discussed, was that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that in whichever condition I am, if I am in a happy state of mind, or I am angry with somebody, but I must say only that which is just, that which is the truth. I must not go on to any extremes. That is the meaning of that hadith. That if I am happy with the person or I am angry, I must not waver from that which is just. The balance must remain. That also we discussed to some extent. And I mentioned that inshallah we will visit this part again. We will discuss with regards to Adal if Allah Ta'ala gives us the opportunity. But I wanted to go ahead. So let us just introduce the third point. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that my Allah ordered me that I must practice moderation in all conditions. in conditions of poverty and in conditions of richness. Whether the person is rich or whether he is poor, he must practice moderation. There must not be any kind of extremism in this person's life. When we talk about moderation, Shariat of Islam, it is the beauty of the Shariat of Islam that it doesn't want anybody to go on to any extreme. In charities, the Quran Sharif orders us that there must be moderation. Now imagine, charity is such a wonderful thing. But we are told that neither tie your hands to your neck, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ إِلَىٰ أُنُقِقْ وَلَا تَبْسُطْهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ. So neither tie your hands to your neck, that means don't give no charities at all. Say that I must worry about my tomorrow. What's going to happen to my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren? Now the person is building castles from now for his great-great-grandchildren. So it mustn't be like that. There must be giving of charities. But it must not also be such that the person gives away everything and after that he regrets the decision that he made. Now he leaves his own children poverty-stricken. He makes his own children go and beg on the streets. Or he makes his own children deprives his own children of any inheritance. And they look upon others now for their maintenance and support. So there must not be extremism. So whether it's in charities, Shariat does not want extremism. In ibadat, Shariat does not want extremism. We would have said that it is an excellent thing to stay awake whole night in prayer and whole day fast, the whole life. We would have said it's excellent. But Shariat says, no, there is a haqq of your nafs. There is a haqq of your wife. There is a haqq of your eyes. There is a right of everything over you. Different rights have been prescribed and all these things have got rights. So you must fulfill those rights too. You must sleep too and you must stay awake too. You must fast too and you must eat too. There are different rights. So Shariat doesn't even want extremism when it comes to ibadat. So no extremism in charities, no extremism in ibadat. Shariat does not want extremism in anything. Shariat, because itself it is very, very balanced. Therefore in the life of a person also it wants that balance. And whoever has that balance, that home will be a very pleasant home. It will be Jannat on earth. Because this person will be balancing his life. Neither will he go one track that only making ibadat, zikr, tilawat and neglecting the right of his wife and of his children. That all the time he says, I'm very much engaged in deen work, so I've got no time to care for y'all. And so many other people died and they went to Jannat because of the sacrifice that they made, that they starved to death. So therefore don't worry me about any maintenance and anything like that. And you must also make sacrifice. Not like that. They were concerned that they fulfill the rights of everyone. I mentioned this, I think, in one of the majlises, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there could have been nobody more concerned about deen than himself. I mean, who could have had more concern for the deen of Allah than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam? Who could have made more mujahida in this world than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam? Who could have had more taluq and nisbat and contact with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam? And which battle could have required more assistance than the battle of Badr, where there were only 313 people. And they were facing an army of 1,000. And that too fully armed to the teeth. So there was a need there for every person to be there. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself tells his son-in-law Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an, that because your wife Ruqayya is very ill, so you remain behind. And whatever rewards the mujahideen will get who are going to Badr, you will also get a reward. Look it up in the hadiths. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, couldn't he have told his son-in-law at that time, or can we say nauzubillah, that because it was his son-in-law therefore he said that, and for other people's daughters he was not concerned? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he could have told Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala that this is battle of Badr we are going, or we are going towards Badr and we could end up with a battle, therefore whatever happens to your wife, let it happen. Because if she dies whilst you are away, you will be rewarded. But don't show any concern, you can join us. But he didn't do that. He left him behind to care for his wife who was ill. Therefore my Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Hakim Mohd Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, and any wali of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, there will be a balance in their life. There were two people that came with us to Karachi 2-3 years ago. And whilst talking, one of them said that Hazrat must make dua. He said, kis chiz ke liye? He says, my wife is expecting, so must make dua that Allah Ta'ala make it easy for her to give birth. He asked him, when is she expecting? He says, 2 weeks time. He says, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. तुम्हें किसने कहा कि तुम यहां आओ इस वक्त? Who told you to come here this part of the time? It's a woman when she is giving birth, at that time she needs somebody to support her, to give her some comfort, and she needs some assistance. And the husband is the one who can do certain things which anybody else cannot do. Otherwise, then we know what will happen. The person will depend on the brother-in-law and depend on somebody else and strangers at times to take her to the hospital, and so many things are happening. So he says that woman, you should stay with her at least 2 weeks before she gives birth, and stay another 2 weeks with her after she gives birth. And when she's quite comfortable, then after that you can come and spend some time with me if you want. Now, if it had been another chef, he would say, MashaAllah, kitni qurbani tumne ki. Ye biwi chahe mar jaye, kya haraj hai. Tum yahan sheikh ke paas aa gaye, bahut khushi ki baat hai. That is what he would have said. So we must take lessons from this. So what I am saying, that this i'tidal. Brothers, whatever I am saying, I am telling you from the deep recesses of my heart to teach you, to educate you, that there is a balance in Sharia. And the moment we are going to lead a balanced life, there will be happiness, there will be unity. The home will be a pleasant place to live in. It will be Jannat on earth. If not, then we will call it going for deen work, but in the meantime, we'll be leaving behind big, big problems at home. Big, big problems. And we are facing such kinds of problems. In fact, some people got very annoyed when I mentioned this in one gathering. They said that you must not mention such kind of things because people will be discouraged from taking part in dini activities, whether it is going to the sheikh or whether it is any other dini activities. I said, brothers, if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not hide such facts, if he said it openly that, oh Usman, you remain behind and look after your wife, so who are we to be worried and concerned? So my brothers, there's i'tidal. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that my Allah ordered me that I must have a balanced life. There must be moderation, whether it's in poverty or in richness. Now this is what we have to learn, that in poverty sometimes the person remains in moderation because he doesn't have the money, what is he going to do? But it also means that the person should not become restless if he's in poverty. He's making the effort. Allah Ta'ala has given him hands, given him feet, given him intelligence, and he is making the correct effort. But unfortunately the doors of his risk and sustenance are not opening. Allah in his wisdom knows when to open those doors. So he is not getting sufficient amount. And there's great wisdom of Allah Ta'ala, because sometimes it deprives a person or does not give him plenty of material wealth out of love for him. Not that Allah dislikes that person. That person can be a namazi, he can be making dua and making tahajjud and ishraq and chasht, and yet he is not getting sufficient. So he must not be disappointed. He must not think, my Allah is displeased with me. Sometimes Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala dearly loves the ah of this person, that it is this poverty which is bringing him to his door. If Allah Ta'ala gives that person plentiful, tomorrow he'll be gone. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sometimes keeps us in that state so that we will keep making, oh Allah, open the doors of my rizq. Oh Allah, save me from harm in this world and the akhirat. Oh Allah, oh Allah. Allah Ta'ala likes his oh Allah so much that he keeps him in that condition. The person is sick, he's a great buzruk, great wali, and he's making oh Allah, but his sickness is not getting cured because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is loving this oh Allah of this person. So we do not know Allah Ta'ala in his wisdom. It is mentioned that some people, if they are given plentiful, they will go away towards kufr. Their richness will take them to kufr. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if he loves that person, he takes it away from him so that at least he stays on iman. The poverty days will go away sooner or later. So many of us went through such hard and difficult days that at present we can't even imagine that how we live those days. Such difficult days. For 3 solid years in the early days. I'm just mentioning this because this is a majlis of my friends. Otherwise we don't say these things out of fakhar or bragging. That I lived in a cottage with wooden iron building in a freezing place. And the toilet also was outside. If you want to go 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning to the toilet, you can't even think of it. You can't even imagine how difficult it was to go outside. It used to freeze and it used to snow sometimes. And then no car. I used to take my little baby in my hand and with the wife we go on the highway and we wait for some car to give us a lift to Durban, because the salary was so little. And at that time when I was getting that 90 rands, there were people that came from Johannesburg after listening to my bayans in that masjid. They said, Maulana, why are you wasting your time in this place? We will give you 600 rands plus house, plus light, plus water, and comfortable home, what you are living in this condition? I said, no, my Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has brought me here for a special purpose. I can see this whole area. This, and those days there were hardly any alims in that area. So if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala uses me for his deen in this place, it is Allah's fazl and ihsan. And I assured and told those trustees of that place that you can rest assured that all these people can come and make any offers they wish to. If I leave this place, it will be because I feel I can do better work somewhere else, or more work somewhere else, or due to health reasons, if I leave it is different. But rest assured, it's not going to be because of this minimal salary. So for 3 years there was, and then finally then I bought the beetle for 400 rands, which I, somebody called Hitler's spook. Which used to get stuck everywhere. So brothers, the poverty days will go away too, and the days of richness will go away too. No matter what days you are in, it will go away. But if we are going to connect ourselves with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then that will remain with us forever and ever. So some people Allah Ta'ala keeps it away from them, sometimes as a test for some time, and then Allah Ta'ala gives it. Or sometimes Allah Ta'ala feels in his wisdom that this person, if he's going to be given plentiful, he'll run away from my darbar. So he keeps him in that condition. And some people, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala knows that if he's going to keep them in a poverty state, then they will run away to the Christians for hampers. They will be bought off because of poverty. How many times we get cases like that? That if you don't assist us, then we're going there. One person went to Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, and he says, agar aap logo ne meri madad nahi ki, to main Isai ban jaunga. So now if one of us, we would have said that, you know, this person will become a Isai, so we must worry about it and rather give him whatever he needs and all that. He gave him one tight slap. He said, ja abhi ban ja. Islam ko tumhari zarurat nahi hai, tumhe Islam ki zarurat hai. And then he said that we should not entice them with worldly and material things. Islam does not require people who are coming into its fold because of material gain. But if they accept Islam for the sake of Islam, and they believe that it's a great ni'mat that they have been blessed with, then it's our duty to go out of our way to take care of them and their needs and requirements, so that shaitan and nafs does not tempt them away. But don't let them come into the fold of Islam by temptation. Inshallah, we will continue from here if Allah Ta'ala wills next week. Allah's fazl and ihsan, there are quite a few minutes we have already spoken. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala accept. May Allah give me ikhlas in whatever I do. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala bless it also with sharf qubuliyat. And may Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala bless each and every one of us with his muhabbat, with his love, with his nisbat, with his ta'alluq. Ay mere pyare Allah, ay mere rahim kareem Allah, hum sab ko apna qurb naseeb farma. Tere daryaye qurb ki gehrai ki machli hume bana de. Nafs o shaitan ke panje se hume bacha de. Ay Allah, protect us from the attacks of nafs and shaitan. Oh my Allah, give all of us long life, good health, bless us with prosperity, with happiness. Ya Allah, give us the best of this world and the best of the akhirah. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ اللهم ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.